good to be able to see everyone this morning and glad that we can come together to worship God. We're going to look this morning at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Excuse me. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day." Now we read that passage, and that's the most profound statement we could ever find about the creation in which we live. There is no contrary scientific fact that has ever been discovered and to disprove what the book of Genesis says in that chapter, in chapter 1. I'm not going to read, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but there has never been one single scientific proof that shows that those things are wrong. And I would say there never will be, because God is the author of it. Science comes from observable facts in life and in the world around us. No one was there to observe the creation except the Godhead. If you think about that term Godhead, you turn back to Acts chapter 17 for a moment. The Apostle Paul in the city of Athens was talking about the unknown God that some of them worshiped. That they had all these idol gods in the city, and they had altars and images to all of them. But he says there is one altar there to the unknown God. He says that's the one I speak to you about. And in verse chapter 17 of Acts, in verse 28, he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. Even as certain of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Being therefore the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and device of man." The Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead, is God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are the only eyewitnesses of the creation. Turn back now to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity," or deity. So the everlasting power and deity, some translations say Godhead of God, is seen through the creation which God has made for you and me. And he goes on to say that they are without excuse because God has promised and given to us all of the evidence that is necessary to come to the conclusion that God, in fact, is the Creator. Turn now to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, and there we turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says there, "For in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's talking about Christ. In him, in Jesus Christ, when he was upon this earth, in him resided all of the fullness, the completeness of the Godhead in one person, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean that all three were are part of him, because it was Christ who came, and the Holy Spirit came to be his direction, and God the Father was still in heaven. But they were all three of the persons of the Godhead were represented there. So we go back to the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but we're going to be a little more specific about it here today. We could talk about the whole creation, but that's not our purpose this morning. Turn then to Genesis chapter 1 and down to verse 24. Verse 24 of Genesis chapter 1, and it says there, And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. So God created those things, the animals upon the earth. Verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God's creation was good. God saw it because He made it. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in His own image. A male and female He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth. We look at that and realize then that was God's command. That's what God did. He commanded. He spoke the word, as it said in Psalms, and it was done. God spoke and brought all of these things into being. In other words, God knows everything about the entire universe in which we live. He knows everything about every part of the universe in which we live, and He knows everything about you and me also. And so He first created before us, mankind was the last creation of God upon the earth. So He says, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. And it has been so ever since that time. But He then says in verse 26, He said, let us make man in our image. So God created all of the land animals and all the animals upon the earth. You read earlier, those gathered in the sea in verse 10, and God created all of those things in His way, by His word, and by His power and knowledge and understanding. In other words, God knows everything about every living thing upon the earth. He is the creator of it. And so we look at that, and we look at that now at verse 26. And here's where we come down to you and me and what God did then. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now that's the Godhead, God the Father speaking to Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now in John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, all things were created through Him, and without Him there is not anything that is made that has been made. God, through Christ, did the work of the creation when He created you and me. And notice what it says. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. This is God in the creation. He made us, human beings, male and female. Not more, not less, but exactly as God promised He was going to do. And He did it. And He says, give us dominion. That means authority, rule over the things of the earth. Now, it doesn't mean that we're to destroy what God has given to us. We're to take care of it. In fact, read on in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He gave them a responsibility to take care of the creation that God had given to them. And so there is a responsibility that God gave. But notice again, I mentioned John chapter 1, verse 3. It's talking about God through Christ created the universe, and us also in the original creation. All things were made through Him, through Christ, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. And so we have to understand that promise and that statement that God made through the Apostle John, guided by the Holy Spirit, to write that. Verse 27, "And God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply in the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the ever-living thing that moves upon the earth." That was God's command. It was God that gave us and what we are. He made us not simply to be physical beings. We are that, and that's what we can see right now before us. But He also made us to be spiritual beings. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus there to the woman at the well in Samaria. John chapter 4, he's talking about where to worship, and then he had been asked that question by the woman. And Jesus said, there's coming a time when not Jerusalem or Samaria, wherever it was, to worship God. But He says in John 4 verse 23, He says, "But the hour is coming, and now is." In other words, it's upon us now. "When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such does the Father seek to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." God is spirit, and that's the literal translation of the term there. Some translations say God is a spirit. Well, He is, but He is spirit. That is the essence of His nature. And so God created us in His image. He didn't create us in the physical image of God. He created us in the spiritual image of God. Because God is a spirit being. And when we realize what Jesus said there, that we're to worship in spirit and in truth, we do so sometimes by outward actions, which is part of it. But inwardly is the most important part of it. And so we are to worship in that way. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus gives us another thought and another idea there. Now, Jesus has been asked a question in Matthew chapter 19 about divorce and such like that, marriage and divorce. But in the course of this, notice what Jesus did. They asked Him about whether it was lawful to put a man to put away his wife. Chapter 19, verse 4. Jesus, and He answered and said unto them, "Have you not read that He who made them from the beginning made them male and female?" Excuse me. Verse 5. "And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his own wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Notice when Jesus was asked about the creation of human beings, about the original, He goes back to the beginning. He says He created them male and female. Not a whole bunch more, but just male and female is what God created. And no matter what the world may say about it, that does not change the truth of God in any way. And we have to understand that. And that's what God did. Turn now to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And if you read through the first few chapters of the book of Genesis, you'll know that the statement is made and then it's expanded upon in chapter 2 and 3 and some other references. The creation, there's much more to the creation than chapter 1 talks about. And so the writer, Moses, of course, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, expands upon some of the details about it in chapters 2 and 3. And so we turn over to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "The Lord formed man, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God formed us physically of the dust of the ground. But it wasn't until He breathed into our nostrils a breath of life that we became a living soul. Not just a physical body, but a living soul. That soul survives the death of the body for all of eternity. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul there, when he is talking about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, sometimes called the great chapter on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. Now, you can read the whole chapter about our body, the spiritual body that we'll receive when we go home to be with Him. But it says in verse 45, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." So the first Adam was created a physical being, and yet this spirit, this soul was within him also, and God formed it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. If you go over there, the Apostle Paul gives us something else to think about for a moment, as the Apostle Paul often did. You turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. In Paul's conclusion, towards the conclusion of the book of 1 Thessalonians, he said, "And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly." That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. In other words, in a complete way. He says, "The God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when the term soul and spirit is used individually, you can make it either the soul and the body and all these things together. But when the three are mentioned together, there is a purpose for that. And when he says the body, he's talking about the physical body that we're living in now. "And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly," completely, in other words, "and body be preserved entire." So the physical body will be preserved as long as we live. But he says then, "and be preserved without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus." And he says spirit and soul and body. The spirit is the part of us that's going to survive the death of the body when these three terms can't come together. The spirit returns to God who gave it when we die. When the three are mentioned together, the soul is the life within us that God has placed there. It can be physical life, it can be spiritual life. But the body will eventually die, but the spirit is going back to God who gave it. The soul is that motivating force within us, our life itself. And it's the same today as it was at the creation. You go back again to Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now you read all through the creation account and the times that God created the animals in the sea, on the land, and everything else. It never says that about them. God gave them life, and he gave them the soul in the sense of a motivating force, a physical life within them. But he did not put within the animals the spirit that he gave to you and me. Now go down to Genesis chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them unto man to see what he would call them. And whatsoever the man called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And the man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for man there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he closed up the flesh and fall upon man. And he took one of the ribs from and closed up the flesh instead of thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made woman to be brought and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, you read that particular passage, read not only of the creation of Adam, and now we also read of the creation of woman or Eve in this particular case. There is no acceptable companion to be found for him. Some people read that and they read that and say there was not a helpmate for him. That's not what the word is. It's help meet, M-E-E-T. It means one that is acceptable, one that is for his completion and him for her completion. And that's why God made us that way. He created Adam with not only intelligence and with language that could be understood, and all of those things he started with. Now, the world talks about how we developed over millions of years, and somehow somebody said a word one time, and somebody else said another word, and over another million years, they started talking to each other. That's the way the world looks at it. Adam was created whole, with knowledge, with understanding, with wisdom, with words that he could speak and could be understood. That's the way God created us. And you look away what the world teaches as opposed to what God says. Again, God is the only one because he was there. He is the one that created us. But look at the creation of woman. And one of the things we find there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. That is the first record of surgery we have in the Bible. And God performed it. He opened up the side of the man, took the rib out, closed it up. And of course, then with that, verse 24, it says then, Adam, and it says he created woman to stand beside him. Verse 23 then, and the man said, now this is my bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So again, there we have that creation. Now turn now with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 6. Here again, Jesus is talking in this particular case. Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. It says, and verse 6, it says, but from the beginning of the creation, male and female, he made them. Male and female, not more, not less, but exactly that God said. He says then in verse 7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no more two, but one flesh. Adam was the one that God created first. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, he called their name Adam. Adam means taken from the ground. It means taken from the dirt, and that's what he was. Mankind, of course, male and female were created then, and it's the same today as it ever has been. Now turn now to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. You read on through the book of Genesis and how that Adam and Eve bore children, and their children was a long period of time for them. But now he says this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, he made him. Male and female, he created them and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And then he goes on to talk about the genealogies that came from Adam and Eve after them. And so in the likeness of God, he made man in his spiritual image. Every one of us in this room today are made in the spiritual image of God. Now God didn't go out and get the dirt and make us individually out of that. He made a process by which that could be done. And it's still with us today, and God began it in the beginning. Now turn over to Galatians chapter 3. And Galatians chapter 3 then deals partly with what God wants of his creation. Galatians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 24. Galatians 3 and verse 23. It says, but before faith came, We were shut up in ward under the law, shut up unto faith which should after be revealed. So Paul is talking about the Jews of their time, looking forward to the coming of the Christ and the new law that he was going to bring to us. Verse 24, so that the law has become our tutor, or some translations say schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ that we might become justified by faith. This is why God created us. This is why the law was given. And this is what we are to do today. We are to be justified by faith. Well, how do we do that? Galatians 5 and verse 26, it says, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is the completion of God's plan for you and me. When we believe and we're baptized into Christ, we put him on in this life, this physical body and the spiritual body, which God has given to you and me. And he says, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, there can be no male or female, for we're all one in Christ Jesus. We all become one in Christ. Now, those differences may still be around in the physical realm, but spiritually, we're all equal in the sight of God. And it will be that now and will be always if we are in Christ Jesus and we follow his will each day. And again, we look at Galatians chapter 3. Here is the culmination of God's plan for us. Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. He becomes a part of us. Just like we put on a coat or a shirt or something, we put that on, it becomes a part of us while we're living. Christ becomes a part of us spiritually. Every day we live from that day forward. And God created us to be that way. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here he gets more specific about it. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Now, if you go back earlier in that chapter, back in verses 9 through 11, he talks about all these sins the people had and they're still around today. He says, Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit are part of our salvation. But notice his conclusion in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. He says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Here is why God created us, right here. He says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, when we obey the gospel in baptism, we're raised in newness of life. We are forgiven of our sins and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Every day we live, we should be reminded of that. He says, which is in you, which you have from God. God the Father sent the Spirit to be that part of us. And he says, you are not your own. Why do we not belong to ourselves? Because there is a price paid for us. For you are bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Every day we live, we're to glorify God in the body that God has given to us. Physically and spiritually, we have to do that every day we live. I turn one more time over to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, we have to make a decision to serve God no matter what the world around us does or says. In Daniel chapter 3, there are three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were friends and fellow workers with Daniel. And the king set up a great idol, and they were supposed to bow down to it when they heard all of these noises and worship this golden image that the king had made. And they refused to do it. And in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, he said, we're not going to bow down to your idol. We serve the true God. We'll serve you. We'll be faithful to you as the king. But we're not going to bow down to your idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. I doubt that the king had ever had anybody say to him, no, I'm not going to do that. But they did. He was very angry, and he caused them to be thrown in the burning fiery furnace. And it says then, and they said, you can do that, but we're still not going to bow down to your idol. And so he commanded it to be done. In verse 18, he says, but if not, he says, in verse 17, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. That's talking about God. I said, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which has been set up. Can you imagine being put in a position where you're going to be thrown into the fire and suffer a horrible death if you did what somebody commanded you to do? But you couldn't, because if you're faithful to God. Well, that's what they did. God did deliver them, but God did not tell them beforehand that he would. They had to go by faith that God would be with them, and he was. And we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the chosen ones of God by our faith and obedience to the gospel. And when we do that, God created us. And when the time comes in God's sight, we're going to be able to go home to be with him for all of eternity. But we have to prepare for that now. Today, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come? All together we stand as we sing.